In February of 1947, a small group of World War II veterans gathered at Heinz VA Hospital near Chicago. The fact that they were there at all was considered extraordinary. The men were paralyzed, living at a time when paraplegia was still an unfamiliar word, and most people with spinal cord injuries were told they would die within a few years. But these wounded veterans had other ideas. So they came from hospital wards across the country to start a national organization to represent veterans with spinal cord injuries. Today on Veterans Day, NPR's Joseph Shapiro tells their story.
The logo of the Paralyzed Veterans of America looks a bit like the American flag, except that it's got 16 stars, one for each of the men who started the PVA when they gathered at that first convention nearly 57 years ago. Today, only one of those 16 paralyzed veterans is still alive. His name is Ken Sequist. He lives in a gated community in Florida, a place he helped design in his job as a landscape architect. He's retired now, but he keeps an office in the front of his home. It's there that Sequist sits in his wheelchair and flips through some yellow newspaper clippings.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Until he finds a photo.
This is a picture of some of the charter members that were, we were up in the front row. There I am. It's the first time I had a suit on since I took my Army uniform off.
The picture shows that convention. It was held in a veterans hospital just outside Chicago. A large room is filled with scores of young men in wheelchairs. Others are in their pajamas and hospital beds, propped up on white pillows.
There's Bill Dake. He came with us, and then Mark Orr. We three of us came in a car from Memphis. Mark had one good leg, his right leg, and he was the driver of the car.
Ken Sequist was a tall, lanky 20-year-old in an Army Mountain Ski Division when he was wounded in Italy. He was flown back to the United States to a veterans hospital in Memphis. He came back to a society that was not ready for paraplegics.
Before the war, people in our condition were in the closet. They never went out, hardly. They didn't take them out.
Few people had ever survived for more than a few years with a spinal cord injury. Infections were common and deadly. But that was about to change. David Gerber is a historian at the University at Buffalo. He's written about disabled veterans.
With the development of antibiotics, which came into general use in World War II, there were many healthy spinal cord injured veterans who were able to survive and begin to aspire to have a normalized life.
Gerber says neither the wounded veterans nor the world around them at that time knew what to make of men who were seen as having gone from manly warriors to dependent invalids.
The society is emphatically not ready for them, and nor is the medical profession. To this extent, it was often the paralyzed veterans themselves who were pioneers in the development of a new way of life for themselves.
Sequist and the others set out to overcome the fear and pity of others. After Sequist was injured, he never heard from his girlfriend. His mother's hair turned white in a matter of months. People stared when he went out in public. It was a time when a president with polio felt he had to hide the fact that he used a wheelchair. Beyond attitudes, there was a physical world that had to change. When Sequist arrived at the Memphis hospital, he could not get off the ward. There were steps in the way.
They had no idea of what they had to do for wheelchairs. So when we got there, they had to put in all these long ramps, and this is what we were talking about, ramping and just to get around the hospital and get out ourselves, you know, not having somebody help us all the time. We were an independent bunch.
There were about 2,500 soldiers with spinal cord injuries, most of them living in military hospitals around the country. Pat Grissom lived at Birmingham Hospital in California. He would become one of the first presidents of the PVA, but he was unable to travel from California to Chicago for that first convention. Grissom, too, had come back from war with little hope for his future.
I just suppose that we were going to live the rest of our life either in the hospital or go to an old soldier's home. You were just going to be there taking medicine, and if you got sick, they would try to take care of you, and you'd have your meals provided, and your future was the hospital or the old soldier's home.
At Birmingham Hospital, Grissom met a doctor who was about to become a pioneer in the new field of spinal cord medicine. Dr. Ernest Bors did a lot to improve the physical care of paraplegics. He also pushed the men at Birmingham to set goals for their lives, to go back to school, get jobs, and marry. Boers and the veterans at Birmingham Hospital were the subject of a Hollywood film, The Men. The realistic and sympathetic portrayal helped the American public better understand paralyzed veterans. In the film, the kindly doctor in a lab coat is based on Boers. He urges on a wounded soldier in a white T-shirt, played by a young Marlon Brando.
Well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Into the world. I can't go out there anymore.
You still can't accept it, can you?
No. What did I do? Why'd it have to be me?
Is there an answer?
I haven't got it.
Somebody always gets hurt in a war.
For Grissom and the other paralyzed veterans, there was something else that helped them go out into the world. A new technology. The introduction of automatic transmission meant that a car could be modified with hand controls for the gas and brakes. Pat Grissom.
Oldsmobile come up with the hydromatic drive, and they put on hand controls, and they sent people out to start giving driving lessons to us, and we start having visions of saving up enough money to get a car, and then things were looking better all the time.
Ken Sequist says driving opened up all kinds of possibilities, from going out to a restaurant with a bunch of friends to romance.
In Memphis, we had our favorite place was called the Silver Slipper, and they welcomed us with open arms, and we had maybe 10, 12 wheelchairs going with our dates. Generally, it was our nurses that we dated because, you know, we couldn't get out anywhere, and we took the girls with us, you know. And eventually, I married one of them.
Sequist and his wife quickly had two daughters, and with a young family, he had to find work. He went to school and became a landscape architect. Ken Sequist stopped seeing himself as an invalid and became a man with a future. So in 1947, he and the other founders of the PVA met in Chicago to put together a collective voice to express their dreams and what they needed to accomplish them. They came up with a slogan to get others to join. "Awaken, gentlemen, lest we decay." Ken Sequist explains what it meant.
If they forget us, we're going to decay. We're going to be left in the closet. We got to get out there and speak out, getting things done, so we can roll around this country, have access to the whole country.
The PVA quickly won some important legislative victories in Washington. Money for paralyzed veterans to modify automobiles and houses. Money for medical care. Later, they would help push for laws that would make buildings and streets accessible to wheelchair users. The PVA has continued to advocate for veterans with spinal cord injuries through every war since World War II. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.